Well, I would ask you to take your copy of God's Word and find the Gospel of John, chapter 16. The Gospel of John and chapter 16, and also be finding Psalm 119. We will read our segment of Psalm 119 and then go right into John 16. We will only read two verses in John 16, and we will read the normal 8 in Psalm 119. So if you're able, I would ask you to stand as we read God's holy, inspired, inerrant, infallible, authoritative, what's that last word, Tristan? Sufficient word together. Psalm 119, verse 33. May these words be our prayer as we come each time as to God's word in order to hear Him. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding, that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise that you may be feared. Turn away the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life. Then as we consider John 16, we will read verse 14 and verse 15. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Let's pray again now. Our Father, as we come to your word, may our hearts reflect what we read in Psalm 19. May we long and delight to know you and to enjoy you, to enjoy your word, to be transformed through this truth that we will consider today. Holy Spirit, we depend upon you to give us eyes to see and ears to hear, minds to grasp, hearts to rejoice in truth. May we understand more clearly the truth of the cross of Jesus Christ and what He has accomplished for us. We ask it all in His name. Amen. Please be seated. Last week, as we continued our look in this gospel, we have been reflecting on the ministry and the person of the Holy Spirit. We saw last week, as we looked at just two verses, verse 12 and verse 13, as the Apostle John transitioned from how the Holy Spirit ministers in his work in dealing with the world. And those aspects we looked at in verse 8, 9, 10, and 11, he transitioned back to how the Holy Spirit ministers in another facet to the apostles and to those who understand who Christ is through his work. And he said, as we looked at last week, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. And so we understood the ministry of the Spirit is a weighty ministry as He takes the truth and brings it to bear on the hearts and the minds and the lives of the disciples. We also noticed that He said in verse 13 that when the Spirit comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority. That is, the Holy Spirit teaches us. He guides us. He teaches us. He leads us in the truth. And then we saw that Jesus said, whatever He hears, He will speak and He will declare to you the things that are to come. He teaches us again. And there was a lot I wanted to say last week that was in my notes and I didn't get the opportunity just because y'all don't listen quite fast enough most of the time. And you know, that's a joke. I tend to develop points much longer than I need to, as many preachers struggle with that. But there is so much there that we need to understand. One thing I did not develop this fully, I'm going to develop it right now before we move along, and that is this. I hit on it, but I'm going to say it again. That we need to be very careful when we make the sort of statements, or we hear others make the sort of statements, that God told them something to tell everyone else. Because that is the kind of ministry that God had among the Old Testament prophets and the apostles and those that had a prophetic office in the New Testament. In other words, when we've been looking at, on Wednesday nights, the prophets such as Jeremiah or Isaiah or Elijah or Elisha, the Word of God came to the prophet, and the prophet came to the people and spoke authoritatively. And that wasn't just a private impression. That was a binding impression that was upon everyone to whom the prophet declared that word. And so when someone gets up now, whether it be a preacher or a teacher, or whether we read a book, listen to me, and someone says, God told me thus and so, and then I wrote it down, they are basically equating what they are writing with the Word of God. Now, they wouldn't say that, but that's what they are actually saying, whether they realize it or not. And so we need to be careful when somebody with good intentions says, well, you know, I believe the Bible is the Word of God, but I long to know God more. And so I began to pray, and God began to speak to me, and then He told me all this new stuff. Beloved, that is very, very dangerous. Extremely dangerous. Because that person, whether they know it or not, is equating what they write down and what they hear with Scripture. And so we need to be very wary. And I used to say these things. I used to say, well, God told me thus and so. And it was that as I began to grow and listen to people expound the things I'm trying to tell you now, I began to understand that's a very serious thing. One illustration, and then I'm going to leave this alone for now. When I was at my first church, I had a man come up and tell me, as he was talking to me on the idea of, can a Christian lose his salvation? And he said this to me. He said, God showed me that we are like, and he was a man that liked to build things good with his hands and a carpenter. He said, God showed me that I'm like a nail driven deep down into hard wood that cannot be plucked out by anything. God showed me that, and therefore I believe that I can't lose my salvation. And I said, well, brother, let me say this to you. First and foremost, the Bible is very clear. We cannot lose our salvation. It teaches it from beginning to end. And I believe that as well. But what you need to understand is that this impression that's on your mind with this illustration is not more authoritative than the Bible. I said, suppose somebody who believes that you can lose your salvation were to come up to you and gave you an illustration that taught the exact opposite, and then they said, well, God showed me that I can lose my salvation, and they came up with an illustration. Now, you both have a different idea, opposite of one another, and you both attribute it to God. But God is not telling you both contradictory things. One of you is wrong. How do you know which one of you is wrong? I said, we've got to go back and measure it by the truth, don't we? And what is the truth that we measure it by? The Word of God. So understand, when people say, God told me this, or God showed me this, if it doesn't line up with Scripture, God didn't show you or tell you that. That's an idea you came up with, or something you heard once that's coming back to mind. That's why we've got to go back to the Word of God and measure everything back to truth. Now, that closes last week's sermon. This is what we're going to look at today. Because Jesus is continuing to still talk about the Holy Spirit and His ministry here. And He is developing this. He has not left this subject. We see in verse 14, the very first word, He. And Jesus is referring back to the Holy Spirit. That's the context. So let's not forget that. And as we sang a moment ago, and I listened to the choir sing, I was so thankful. Because I never tell Pooh what is going to be the theme of the sermon. I only tell her typically, in a broad kind of way, because I never know from week to week much of the time, these are the verses I'm planning on looking at. But as she led us in singing and the choir in singing, I hope you picked up on the emphasis of the God-centeredness of every song that was sung. Because that is the exact theme of what this sermon is about. How any ministry that is empowered by the Holy Spirit must be centered upon the person and the work of Jesus. And that is exactly what the Holy Spirit is, Jesus is telling the disciples concerning the Holy Spirit right now. That when the Spirit comes, the ministry He is going to have among you as His people will be a ministry that is centered upon Me, Jesus says. And that is something you and I need to keep in the forefronts of our minds. In our lives, in the life of Southside Baptist Church, and when we begin to listen to other preachers or teachers, or when we listen to hymns and songs, or when we read books, if it is not focused and centered upon Jesus, it is not something that is being expounded by the Holy Spirit. Two things I want to share with you this morning. First, we see here a Christ-centered focus. Jesus talks about a ministry that is empowered by the Spirit, and if it is one, it will have a Christ-centered focus. Look at verse 14. Jesus says, He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. Now we see here in this verse a truth that we first encountered back in chapter 15. And I hit on it then, and I will hit on it again now. So just for the sake of reminding us, look back at verse 26 of chapter 15. And notice what Jesus said in 15:26. But when the Helper comes, and again that is talking about the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness about Me. Jesus emphatically and clearly said that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, when He came, He was going to have one central focus and theme. He was going to bear testimony or bear witness. That is the Greek term from which we get martyr. He was going to bear witness concerning the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And then when we look at our text today, notice again that He says, verse 14, He will glorify Me. In other words, the Holy Spirit's entire ministry is one of taking the spotlight of God's glory and shining it on who Christ is and what Christ has done. That is the emphasis. That is the ministry. That is the task that the Holy Spirit takes up when He comes. The Holy Spirit doesn't direct the glory to you or to me. The Holy Spirit doesn't direct the glory, listen to what I'm about to say, to Himself. The Holy Spirit comes and shines the spotlight on Jesus Christ. Just as all throughout this gospel we've seen Jesus say it time and time and time again. I came not to do my own will, but to do the will of who? The Father who sent me. The message I give to you is not my word, it is the word of the Father. And so Jesus says, when I ascend to the Father, I'm going to send the Spirit of truth. And when the Spirit comes, He's not going to give a different message. He is going to remind you of what I declared. And what I declared is what the Father told me. And He is going to take the spotlight of glory, and He's not going to put it on you. He's not going to put it on Himself. He's not going to put it on anyone else except me. Who I am and the work I came to do. Beloved, the Spirit indwells believers and He bears witness about Jesus. Jesus said in verse 8, 9, and 10 that when the Spirit came, He was going to convict the world concerning several aspects, but all of those aspects find their culminating point in Jesus. And here He says to them that when the Spirit comes, He's going to glorify me. Everything is centered on Jesus. It is all for the glory of Jesus. It is not my glory. It's not your glory. It's Christ's glory. Now, I said this a few weeks ago, and I'm going to say it as clearly right now and as boldly as I can. And listen to what I'm about to say. Any preacher, any teacher, any church, any denomination, any book, whether it be a theology book, a devotional book, a Christian living book, or anything else that takes the spotlight off of Jesus and even puts it on the Holy Spirit, is not empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now that's a bold statement, isn't it? You know why it's a bold statement? This is why. Because the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. Right? Equal with the Father and the Son in power and in glory and in attributes and in essence. The Holy Spirit is just as much God as the Father and the Son. So if I'm saying this, I've got to have a good reason in speaking with absolute authority, and I am. I'm telling you exactly what Jesus said. Because Jesus said when the Spirit comes, He's going to testify about me and He's going to glorify me. He will not testify about Himself, and He will not glorify Himself. He comes to bear witness about the Son. And so if there's any denomination, and there are ones out there, if there are any Christians, if there are any books, and all they seek to do is talk about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and every message is about the Spirit falling and fire come down from heaven and fill us up with yourself and let us speak in tongues and let us do this. Holy Spirit, we want you, we want you. And beloved, those are contemporary praise and worship songs They are not empowered by the Spirit. You know why we go astray at those points? It's because we have quit testing things back to the Word of God. And instead, we are testing things that sound good, that seem to make sense to us, that give us a subjective feeling of worship. And I am not opposed to subjective feelings of worship, provided that it is worship in spirit and in truth. And the way we know it is truth is we test it back to the Word of God. And there are churches, there are Christians that everything they talk about is the gifts of the Spirit, manifestations of the Spirit. Do you have the Spirit? Tell me how you know you have the Spirit. And when we read the Bible, it says, if you're in Christ, you have the Spirit. It is not a matter of did you speak in tongues or not. It is not a matter of did you fall on the ground shaped like somebody with no sense. It's none of that. If you are Christ, you have the Spirit, is what Romans 8 says. If you don't have the Spirit, you're not Christ. And Jesus said, when the Spirit comes, He is going to bear witness about Me. And that's why everything that you and I do in this Christian life comes back to the gospel. Comes back to the cross. It must. It must come back to who Christ is. It must come back to who the Father is in sending the Son and the work Jesus came to do. And He said, it is finished. It's completed. So we need to be wary. And I understand, listen to what I'm about to say. I'm not attributing deceitful motives to everyone that gets off base. I'm not saying they are intentionally setting out to deceive. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is whether someone intends to do it or not, they're doing it. And I gave you this illustration weeks ago. And I asked you this question. Which is more deadly? And be careful if you answer out loud. Which is more deadly? Poison that you mean to drink or poison that you accidentally drink? Answer, they're both just as deadly. And so whether somebody intends good or they intend evil, the moment we get turned away from truth, we're going down a dangerous road. And so we need to be very careful that when we think about Christ-centered ministry or ministry that is empowered by the Spirit, it must be centered upon Jesus. Notice, secondly, and on only 2 points this morning, we see the Christ-centered message. Again, verse 14, notice what He says. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. Declaration, proclamation, a message. Verse 15. All that the Father has is Mine. Therefore, I said that He, the Holy Spirit, will take what is Mine and He will declare it to you. That goes right along with what He said in verse 13. Notice the end of verse 13. Whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. This is all about a message that is declared. It is in perfect harmony and continuity with everything Jesus has been declaring. And what has Jesus been declaring? Everything the Father gave Him to declare. Everything the Father had. And He has walked with these disciples. The disciples have seen miracles firsthand. I mean, my mind still, I understand it up here theologically. I've got it down. But then there's a part of me, and I stop and I think, let's just put ourselves in the shoes of these apostles. They are the ones that go around and gather up 12 baskets full of leftovers after Jesus feeds 15,000 people with a few small fish and bread, loaves of bread. And they are the same disciples that gather up, I think it was 7 baskets full after Jesus fed 4,000. And then they turn around after Jesus tells them, beware of the leaven of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And they quarrel among themselves because they think he's talking to them about food. And they don't have any food among them. And they wonder how they're going to get food. And I stop and I think, how did they not get it? How did they miss the forest for the trees? Because the Holy Spirit had not really grabbed them and illumined their minds to the degree to grasp the depth of understanding they would have once He came. Because He was going to illumine their minds. He was going to help them to understand and grasp everything Jesus taught them. We saw that last week. Jesus said in verse 12, I have many things to say, to declare to you, but you cannot bear them right now. They're too heavy. But when the Spirit comes, He's going to declare them to you. He's going to reveal. He's going to illumine. It's all about a message. They're going to understand the depth and grasp the gravity of it. And so the message of the Holy Spirit, the one the Holy Spirit empowers, is a message that is centered on the person and the work of Christ. One that glorifies Christ. One that is about the Father sending the Son living a perfect life, dying a substitutionary death on a cross, being buried in a tomb, raised on the third day, ascending to the right hand of the Father, and coming again one day. That is the message that you and I have to declare. There is no other message. Any other message that is declared is one we dream of. And it is one that is not promised empowerment by the Holy Spirit. You say, Brother Ken, that's a bold statement. No, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. The question is, do we really believe the Bible or don't we? That's what we all struggle with. We all struggle with this day in and day out. Don't we? When we sin, am I forgiven? Well, I don't feel forgiven. I just don't feel it. I want to feel it. I do. I like feeling it. But you know what's more important than feeling it? What did God say? Did God say it? If God said it, then I trust it by faith. And if I continue going back and understanding and renewing my mind, eventually my feelings will come in line with what the truth is. I was just sharing with someone this morning, if I lived off my feelings, I'm going to be flat out honest with you. I love you, and you've not done anything to make me want to not be pastor of Southside. But if I listened on my feelings, I would have already resigned from this church 100 times over. I've done it at every church. And I used to think that was just something I struggled with. But you know, as I've listened to pastors and heard, most pastors struggle with this. On Sunday night, they think, what's the use? And you know something? By God's grace, one of the greatest gifts that He gives to us is a good night's sleep. And we wake up on Monday morning, and those feelings that were just bearing down on you Sunday night, they're just not as loud. and I go back to the Word of God and renew my mind. Every church I've been in, I've struggled with that very thing. And I'm telling you, I used to think it was me. And I would hear other preachers begin to say that. And I thought, hallelujah, it's just not me. It's not me being out there in some world where it makes no sense. We are a people that if we always walk by what we feel and what we think, divorced from Scripture, we are going to walk off dead in cliffs. So we come back to the Word, that message, the truth. And so here is what Jesus is saying and what the apostles say. Everything, if it is going to be empowered by the Spirit, must be about this message. Listen, there are so many churches today, and I could name names to you. And it's not my intention to sling mud, but I'm telling you, I'm giving you things, tools to measure by. Listen when you read books and when you read hear messages and you look at websites of ministries. I want to throw up when I read about preachers that the first thing they talk about, especially evangelists. I've seen some pastors in our own denomination. So-and-so led this church to go from 10 people to 10,000 people in 4 years. And so-and-so boasted this many conversions. And so-and-so had this many. And I just want to be a bad steward if I'm looking at a computer and throw my computer out in the yard. And I think to myself, it's not about you. That's what I'm reading when I read about this. It's not about the size of a ministry per se. It is not about the gifts of the Spirit. It is not about somebody's health, their popularity, their wealth. It's not about somebody's vision statement. It is about Jesus Christ. It is about who He is and what He did. Every Sunday morning, I read several passages. I tell you this. Every Sunday morning, most of the time, I sit back here and I read the same passages, preparing myself as I come out. One I read this morning, I read it all the time, and I reference it all the time. But I want you to look with me as we're moving to a close to 1 Corinthians again. I think I quoted this last week or the week before. But I want you to look at it again. This gripped me again this morning. 1 Corinthians 1. And notice what Paul says beginning in verse 17. Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach, to make a proclamation. What is the content? The gospel. Paul says, I did not try to do it with eloquent wisdom, with fancy-sounding words. Why did I not do it that way? Because I did not want the cross of Christ to be emptied of its power. So notice, what is the central theme? The gospel about the cross. That is where the power is, the message about the cross. Verse 18. For the word, there is again the idea, the theme of the cross is absolute folly. It is moronic foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. What is the power? The message of the cross. The message of the cross. Verse 21. For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. What is it we preach? The gospel. What's the gospel? The cross of Christ, the person of Christ, the work of Christ. Verse 25. The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Verse 1 of chapter 2. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. In other words, I wanted to know the gospel about Jesus' cross and who He is, His work, His person. The person and the work of Christ, which is the cross. Now that message to the world is foolishness. And what is sadder to me is to most churches today, it's foolish to do that. Do you understand that? They think it's not enough anymore. They say what we really need is to try and create an atmosphere that's going to grab people's attention and make them comfortable when they come in. So they create stadium seating with fog machines and fancy laser light shows. You say people don't do that. Unfortunately, I have been in smack in the middle of one of those services as a spectator when somebody I knew was getting baptized. And if they would have blessed me by doing the baptism at the beginning of the service rather than the end, I wouldn't have had to sit through and endure most of it. It's out there. Why don't we want to hear about the cross? Because the cross shows us our sin. Why the cross? Because we cannot save ourselves. We are undone, unrighteous, ungodly wretches that need Jesus Christ to live for us and die for us. And besides the cross, there is no other way of salvation. Nobody wants to hear that anymore. What do they want to hear? Here are 12 ways to have your best life now. Here are 8 different things you can do to be more popular among your coworkers and your family and your friends. Here are 6 tangible ways to be a better leader in your life. And that's the message of most churches today. They don't want to hear about the gospel because it's not popular. It's outdated. They don't want to hear about preaching. It's about dramatic shows. It's about entertainment. Jesus says it here. Paul says it here. And it's throughout the Scripture. Here's the way of salvation. Jesus came to this earth, lived a perfect life, died a substitutionary death, was on the cross, was buried 3 days, rose again in power, ascended to the right hand of the Father. The Holy Spirit now gives life to dead sinners, draws them to Christ, and when they come to Christ, confessing sin and trusting in Him alone, He saves everyone that comes to Him. That's the good news of the gospel. And no one comes unless the Holy Spirit does a work in their lives first, and that work is always to bring them to the end of themselves and show them they are undone and unrighteous and unholy and ungodly in and of themselves. They need salvation from sin. You don't need salvation from being unpopular or being poor materially or being in poor health physically. And my greatest need is to be reconciled to a holy God because we're not holy. And there's only one way, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that's the message, beloved. And if we're going to have a message and a life and a ministry that pleases God as a church and as individuals, it's going to have Jesus Christ at the center. He's going to be the focus, and He's going to be the message. Anything else does not please God, and anything else is not empowered by the Spirit. And so as we close, as we always do, the invitation's given for you to believe in Christ. Whether you do it where you stand or sit, whether you would like to pray with me at the front, pray here for something that is feeling burdensome to you, pray where you sit. We give this opportunity for a public proclamation. But a public proclamation saves no one. A prayer, listen, a prayer doesn't save you. Walking down an aisle doesn't save you. Jesus is the one that saves you. Let's pray. Father,